So it's that time again, Mr. Parry. Welcome to the Two Mics podcast.
Yes.
On the record.
Yes.
The soon-to-be award-winning series.
That's right.
Which has explored many things, parts of our past.
That's right.
Some of which we shouldn't have revealed.
Oh, I don't think so.
Parts of our future.
I mean, I don't think we should not have revealed them.
Don't you?
So we should have revealed them.
Yes.
That's
well,
what I'm getting to.
I couldn't possibly comment.
No.
But guess what?
What?
The World Cup is here.
The World Cup is upon us.
Is upon us.
Absolutely. And
Four years on. From Mexico debacle.
Yes, right.
You didn't go to that one, did you?
No, I didn't go to that one. No, it wasn't Mexico anyway. It was Brazil.
Brazil, sorry.
Yeah, yes, that's right. Well, it's South America, don't worry.
Well, it's not actually, because Mexico is technically Central America.
It is Central America.
Do you know why
I said
Mexico? Because I had it in my head.
Mexico
has just been awarded the 2026 World Cup.
Along with Canada and the United States of America.
USA, yeah.
That's right, yes.
Now,
yeah.
There are some people who are saying, rather unkindly, that in fact, isn't it interesting that the FIFA investigation from the Washington Department of State's lawyers seems to have gone a bit quiet.
That's right.
And suddenly the Americans have now got the World Cup in 2026.
Unbelievable, isn't it?
I wouldn't wish to cast any aspersions on...
And it was the Americans who launched the in-depth investigation into FIFA corruption, started dragging people in chains into prisons all around Europe and America.
And they started arresting them in the hotels, didn't they?
Arresting them in the hotels. And in fact, there are some would-be criminals or alleged criminals still floating around on Caribbean islands representing parts of FIFA.
Indeed.
Who have never been brought to justice.
And what about
and
that
who
guy,
have millions of pounds salted in their bank accounts.
What about that big fat guy from Trump Tower?
Yeah.
With the apartment for him and the other apartment for his cat.
That's right.
What happened to him?
Yeah, well, I don't know. He was another corrupt guy.
He used to go up and down Fifth Avenue, one of those mobility scooters.
Mobility scooters, that's right. But there's a guy down in, where is it?
He's in Trinidad, isn't he?
Trinidad and Tobago, something like that. And this guy, I mean, he's got at least £5 million in the bank.
Yeah. He's copper bottom because he said, if you drag me anywhere near a court, in America, I'm going to spill the beans on everybody else.
Right, yeah. I think they've just kicked that one into the long grass. Mm. However, talking about the World Cup, I was delighted to see that when the team left these shores and flew, you know, over east to...
Now, did they do what you said they were going to do, which was to stick the old flag out the window?
Exactly, they didn't stick the flag out the window this time.
Well,
so
maybe that's a good
delighted.
Omen. Yeah.
It's a good omen.
Yeah.
However, they were pictured prior to getting on the plane in their official suits.
Yes.
Where'd they get those from?
Marks and Spencer's,
absolutely.
Believe. Now, what do you make of the combination of the waistcoat and tie?
No,
because some people were taking the piss out of it,
saying,
well, it looks a bit old-fashioned.
Yeah, well, waistcoats are nonsense.
No, waistcoats are back in fashion now.
No, they're not. Whenever I see a manager on the touchline with a waistcoat, I think, you pompous individual, pompous
git. Well, hang on. When was the last time you were in a men's clothing store? And I'm afraid that, sports directors not count.
I don't go to men's clothing stores.
I can tell.
I buy my clothes from chic boutiques.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, well, if you went to a chic boutique today, you would see that everyone wears every suit that they're selling comes with a waistcoat.
Bollocks.
It's not bollocks, it's true.
Anyway, the point of my story is the Marks and Spencer suits cost £413.
Is that right?
That's bloody impossible.
Why?
I've bought clothes in Marks and Spencer's in the past.
Yeah.
I don't anymore, I hasten to add.
They don't fit you anymore, do they?
No, actually, I think I bought a blazer there about 2 years ago.
Do you know
very
that
nice.
New checked jacket I've got?
Yes.
I bought that in Marks and Spencer.
Did you?
Yeah.
That's not bad, is it?
It's nice.
Yeah, so
I think
I,
it was about £100.
So I bought a blazer there, because blazers are good. Marks and Spencer's are good for blazers and that kind of stuff.
I haven't really bought clothes in Marks and Spencer's aside from that jacket for a long time.
I think that cost me about £99, right?
Okay.
So an average jacket in Marks and Spencer's is about £120.
I would say so.
And I would say trousers up to 60, that's 180.
Yeah.
A tie for 20, that's 200.
Uh-huh.
I don't know whether the waistcoat
maybe a little bit more.
All right, maybe £40 for the waistcoat. Yeah. Where did the other £200 come from?
Well,
I don't know why you'd pay that for a suit in Marks and Spencer's.
Don't forget,
these
guys are all multimillionaires, right?
Yeah.
And most of them would probably buy suits that cost in excess, I would say, of £1,000 or £2,000.
£5,000.
Yeah, maybe.
Go
but
to
the point
road.
Is that maybe they had them specially made, and that's why they're more expensive.
Well,
I don't know if you can go to Marks and Spencer's today and buy the same suit that Harry Kane's wearing.
No, you can't. And I bet you they'll never wear those suits again.
Well, they didn't even keep them on for the day that they put them on.
No, well, I don't blame them for that, because if you're going on a 7 or 8 hour flight,
why not?
You take off your suit.
I wore a suit when we went to New York.
Your trackies on.
No, I would not put. No, I'm sorry, that is an absolute no-no for me.
Yeah.
If I see people on a plane in trackies, you know what I think?
Yeah.
Chav.
Yes, I do as well.
Chav.
And you know the last person I know who did that?
Who?
He had the piss taken out of him mercilessly by his travelling colleague.
Uh-huh.
It was Graham Beecroft, right?
Beaky.
Yeah, Beaky, Beaky.
What do you mean, the man that doesn't know a story?
The Wirral Squirrel, yes.
He taught me about twice now.
That's right,
Do you remember first of all was when Wayne Rooney was not on the bench for Everton?
Mm.
Not in the team.
Not on the bench.
Gave us the team news.
Yeah.
And then right at the end went, Wayne Rooney doesn't seem to be in the team.
No, that's
to which
right.
we said, well, shouldn't that have been your top line, yeah. Beaky? Yes, you're quite right.
Yeah, that's right.
And
yeah.
then he cocked something else up, didn't he?
Well, they scored, but by the time we got to him, he didn't bother telling us there was a score.
Oh, no, it wasn't that. No, he was leading up to what looked like was going to be a goal, and it turned out not to be.
That's
no, but
right,
there was
yeah.
another game that he cocked up.
Well, he doesn't cock much up. I'm on Beaky's side. Beaky's a good man.
He gets nervous when he comes on the radio.
He gets nervous when he comes on the radio. But anyway, they were going off, I think it was Australia. I think it was the...
the Ashes.
The Commonwealth Games.
For some the Commonwealth reason. Games? Yeah, what were they sending him there for?
Well, there was some sponsorship deal, know what I mean? Yeah, and
we don't cover the Commonwealth Games at TalkSport, do we?
Well, I think it was the Commonwealth Games, and it might have been Singapore or something like that. But anyway... Right. Hal told all his listeners when they got there, you know. And they're trying to be first class, by the way.
Yeah.
And in first class, you literally do get a free, travelling pack.
Yeah.
With a, you know, they get a...
Well,
get,
we got one in business when we went to New York, didn't we?
Did we?
Yeah.
Well you didn't change it to them, did we?
What do you mean?
Well, what I'm saying...
Oh, sorry, you're saying like pyjamas?
You get a tracksuit. Yeah, you get a...
Oh, right.
You get
a tracksuit. No, we didn't get that. No,
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So anyway, so... Hal adopted his usual style of reclining into his first class seat, and he, even when he's dozing, he has his hand up on his right shoulder, clutching the bottom of his glass.
Right.
So if a steward happens to pass with a bottle of champagne, they will always refill his glass.
I've seen that picture.
Yes,
you
saw
that picture out in the past, haven't you?
So anyway,
I presume he couldn't get into the particular pajamas.
Well, that's a little unfair. I'm sure they were multi-size and all that kind of stuff, but Al wouldn't dream of reducing himself to the level of laughter by getting into a tractor.
By trying to get into
it. And he also regarded it as a waste of time. It's a waste of good drinking time when you're in first class on an aeroplane, you know. But anyway, Beaky disappears for 15 minutes, comes back, and he's got the full tracksuit mode on, you know what I mean?
And what sort of colour was it?
Full kitted, if you know what I mean.
What colour was it?
I don't know. I who are they travelling with? I think it might have been British Airways.
British
or
Airways,
Qantas or something like that. I've no idea. But anyway, you know, I'm afraid he was mercilessly mocked for the rest of his trip.
Well,
I'm quite right.
I hate seeing people walking through airports in bloody, you know, those velour sort of, you know... Jumpsuits, or whatever you want to call it.
I agree.
Horrible.
But anyway,
ghastly.
World Cup now. A lot of our crew have gone out there to Russia.
Good luck to them.
Talk Sports
crew. We don't have to keep bigging up Talk Sport. This is not a Talk Sport podcast, by the way.
I said our crew. I didn't even mention the name of the company because, of course, this is an audio boom.
Well, it's not our crew, though, is it?
Well, the crew we work with, on various projects.
Some
of whom we work with.
Yeah.
And they'll have a great time. But I have to say, 5 weeks, that's how long the competition lands. It's like a prison sentence.
Is it?
You wake up every morning and you take another day off.
Right.
Because it's relentless. You don't get a day off in 5 weeks. That's 35 days.
Yeah.
And you start on day one.
And you have to work with all the same people that you're seeing every single day. That must be quite stressful.
Yeah, it's very stressful.
Especially if one of them is fucking Stan Collins.
Oh, well, that was the most stressful one of the lot. That was in South Africa.
Yeah.
You know, that was an absolute nightmare.
Yeah.
And it's where we first discovered the true... evilness and banality of Stanley
Let's
Collymore.
Let's not give him too much publicity.
No, we're not giving him any publicity. Everybody knows about Collymore now, and he's as Ian Wright quite rightly said, you know, get that chip off your shoulder.
Yeah.
Why do you think no broadcasting organisation will ever employ you again, and no brand will ever want you to endorse their products?
No, exactly.
It's because you are bad news.
Exactly.
And it's as simple as that.
Mm.
But anyway, what I'm going to say is, you go up every day, and sometimes the day can start at 6 o'clock.
Yeah.
If you're going off to cover a game, you might be trekking 5 or 6 hours in a car or on a flight.
They're 2 hours ahead, aren't they? Moscow. I don't think they're playing anywhere else where the time difference is any bigger than that.
I think they are, because England's first game is...
I thought they were in, like, Volgograd or something.
Volgograd, which is an hour on from Moscow, I think.
Is it?
I think so,
I mean, if you were going to do an early morning show, you know, you'd be up with a dawn, wouldn't you?
Yeah, well...
Up with a crack of dawn.
Yeah, you would, yeah, absolutely, but...
What's wrong with your eye, by the way?
I don't know, I'm sorry, it's irritation. I know it's from hay fever.
Yeah.
And
there's no pollen inside the studio.
No, but it's gone to my eye outside, I think.
Really?
No. Anyway, the point is...
Yeah, what is the point?
When we were in Germany, for instance...
Mm.
Most of it was driving, because Germany is a compact European country.
Well, it's a big country, though, isn't it?
It's a big country, but you could drive mostly everywhere. Yeah. Or get the ICE trains. ICE being Intercity Express.
Okay.
They're named in English. They're called the Intercity Expresses.
Yeah.
ICE train.
Those are those kind of words, though, that translate you know, as they are in English too.
Absolutely.
Like Zapper.
Yeah.
Like Le Zapper.
And do you know what?
In France, the remote control.
The bathrooms on the ice trays, yeah, the ice train, were so good.
Really?
We felt like sort of removing them, taking them home. They're better than the bathrooms in the hotels and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, absolutely fantastic.
What, very clean.
Oh, clean.
Not stinky.
Extensive. Right. And, you know, very opulent.
Well, why can't
kind
they
of
run
stuff?
A bloody train service like that in this country?
Well, I don't know. We better go and ask Mr. Branson. You know, it's Virgin, isn't a lot of it and all that kind of
is
stuff.
It? Hmm. Well, Virgin's all right, actually.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway,
what was the point of your story?
Well, the point of the story is, so in Germany, you wake up and it's a long slog to Stuttgart or to Dortmund or Berlin.
Hamburg.
Or Hamburg. Yeah. Or Munich,
yes,
you know.
Munich.
Munich.
You mean München.
München, that's right, yeah. But eventually you get there and you do the game and all that kind of stuff. And then sometimes you get home at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, you know.
And there's plenty of bladderation opportunities there, isn't there?
Mike Bovell was my driver in Germany.
Your
I
driver.
Made sure he was, yeah. Yeah, I made sure I drove everywhere with everything.
He's a top man, Mr. Bovell.
Top man.
I won't hear any words against
him. No, neither will I.
No.
And anyway, South Africa was quite different.
Yes.
Because you have to fly everywhere. Yeah. South Africa. It's such a huge country.
Well, I was going to say, imagine covering the next World Cup in Qatar after Russia.
Yeah, you'd walk everywhere.
Well, you can pretty much,
yeah, you can.
Get a taxi to the nearest stadium, which, it's just over there.
That's right. Yeah.
There's another seven over there.
Yeah.
But when they go to America and Canada and Mexico, that's going to be a nightmare. I mean, that's going to be planes all the way, isn't it?
Imagine flying from Toronto to Mexico City.
Yeah. I know. It'll take you all day to get there.
But anyway, and the other thing about South Africa, of course, is that in Germany, everything works.
Yeah.
Everything, okay? In South Africa, very little works.
I would imagine Russia would be a bit like South Africa
It will be.
Outside of Moscow.
Yeah, without shadow of a doubt. Yeah. Without shadow of a doubt. You know, you land in airports where there's no taxis.
Yeah.
Your luggage never arrives with you.
Right.
And if your luggage happens to be the electronic equipment you need to do a radio show, then you are knackered.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
And there might be a few banditos around as well who want to steal things from
you. Well, when we went to Belarus, and this was not in the World Cup, it was when England were playing Belarus.
Yeah.
That's why we were there.
Right.
I mean, you wouldn't go to Czechoslovakia if England were playing Belarus, would you?
You'd go to Belarus. Go to Czechoslovakia because it doesn't exist anymore.
No, exactly.
It's either Slovakia or the Czech Republic.
So anyway,
as you well know.
So we get into Belarus, and of course, the usual, you know, sort of, you have not got the right visa.
Do you have papers?
Yeah, do you have papers? Yeah, where is your visa? So you have the visa. No. This equipment does not have authorization.
It's going to be impounded.
It's being impounded.
I remember you told me that.
It was impounded. Yeah. And this is about, like, you know, midnight or 1 o'clock in the morning. So, first of all, they impounded the equipment, and then they said, "And you must join your equipment while we search it."
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Is it in a room here? No. It has gone to the office on the other side of the airport.
All right.
Oh, right. Okay.
The Nazis, so, these guys.
Right? Yeah. So.
They sound like the blokes from Where Eagles Dare.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So.
Where's the castle?
Yeah. So he said, "How do we get there?" The car will pick you up. So we get in this car. You drive, honestly, for miles around the perimeter of this airport. Uh-huh. And, you know, it's only Minsk in Belarus.
Right.
It's not as big as Heathrow.
Right.
It's about as big as, like, you know...
Stansted.
No, it's not even as big as that. It's like some landing strip on a beach, really, you know.
Mm.
And eventually we get this warehouse in the middle of the night. It's now about 2 o'clock in the morning, you know. Sit there, you know. And then they're going through. And, of course, in the end, we had to give them $200 US dollars to get our stuff
local
back.
Tax.
Yeah. There was no such thing as, you know, impounded and all that. So that was one of many tales I can tell you about covering a World Cup.
Yeah, it's going to be quite exciting because the World Cup sort of officially gets underway this afternoon, right?
Yes.
Robbie Williams, bizarrely, is doing the opening ceremony.
Yeah, he is, yeah.
But I don't understand why.
Well, because he's probably been paid $5 million, I would imagine.
Do you think Jimmy Page will be pleased that he's gone out of London for a while because he can break into his house and mess about with it?
Well, perhaps he can dig a few holes in his garden and make sure he can't build a swimming pool underneath the house, which will shake the foundations of Jimmy Page's castle.
Indeed.
Yeah.
That's still going on, that
feud,
isn't it?
Yeah, I feel very sorry for Jimmy Page as well. Yeah, I do.
I feel sorry for Robbie Williams.
Why?
Because Jimmy Page is a bit of a practicer of the dark arts.
Not at all.
This is a bloke who knows about how to summon up demons and stuff.
What are you on about?
He's a massive follower of black magic.
No, he's not.
Yes, he is.
What a load of bollocks.
It's not bollocks.
He's a massive follower of rock music, of pretty girls.
And black magic.
And the high life, and he deserves all that because he's a special talent.
He is a special talent. He's a great
guitarist.
Nothing
to do with black magic.
Well, I wouldn't be upsetting him if I was Robbie Williams.
Really?
Yeah, I wouldn't want to go down that road.
You think he's got a doll and he
I think he
addresses...
might be worse than that.
Yeah.
He might be sitting there with a pen in the middle of a pentangle summoning up the beast.
Don't know about that. Anyway, other tales of the World Cup, okay?
Yeah.
So, in South Africa, for instance, one time we covered a game somewhere, I don't know where it was, like Durban or somewhere like that, and then all our travel documents said you then drive 80 miles to this regional airport to get back.
Right.
It's the only flight we could get you.
Uh-huh.
So the more we're driving, the more we're going into the bush, you know, the South African veldt, you know, or something.
Yeah,
you know.
That's not good.
Yeah, and all of a sudden, somebody said, this doesn't look like there's going to be an airport at the end of this road. It just doesn't look right, you know. Eventually, we came to an airport.
Yeah.
And it was like something out of a sort of Australian film. You know,
Out back, mate.
It was a hut, right? And we went in, you know, equipment, and there was one bloke there, and he said, oh, yes, we have been waiting for you, you know. We have been waiting for
you. This is a guy from Belarus.
Yeah, Belarus. It turned up in that area. We've been waiting for you. I said, you know, so he said, oh, okay. And I was with Mark Saggers, actually, with Sags. So
it's a goal! It's a goal!
So we said, you know, don't there be a lot of flights coming out of this airport?
Yeah.
No, there are no flights, you know. So what do you mean there are no flights? What about our flight? Oh, yes, your flight is coming in 2 hours.
Uh-huh.
Okay, where's it coming from? I don't know, but your flight will be here. So anyway, they had, like, a, quote, coffee bar upstairs.
Oh, yeah.
Which the bloke who greeted us to the airport also served.
Right, okay. So he couldn't. So he sort of ran up the stairs.
He ran upstairs. Yeah. And they had a load of Scotch whiskey and they didn't have any coffee.
Right.
And so we literally sat there, you know, looking into the sky because none of us believed for a moment an aeroplane was ever going to arrive. It didn't. I mean, we said, when this plane arrives, where's the refueling lorry? You know, the one. Don't need any. It's got plenty of fuel.
But where were you going to?
To Cape Town.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah, back to Cape Town.
Which is
somewhere.
What, about an hour away or something on a plane?
Yeah, probably an hour and a half, something like that, you know, or whatever. So anyway, we got so pissed on this whiskey, you know, and I remember feeling so ill, you know, even to this day, because that's all
was
we had
hot?
To do. Hey?
Was it hot?
Hot whiskey?
No, was it hot, the climate?
Oh, yeah, yeah, it's always hot.
Because drinking whiskey in hot weather is not a good idea.
No, I know, but there's nothing else. Yeah. I mean, this was like, you know, we all thought we were going to die here, you know, never get rescued and all that. So it's like being a pirate in the Caribbean.
Yeah.
When they wanted to get rid of you, you know what they did? They, you know, they put you on an island with a bottle of whiskey, and you had two choices. You could either try and survive by finding water, or you could drink your bottle of whiskey and then take your pistol and blow your own brains out.
Oh, right.
Because
seems a bit drastic.
Well, that was Robinson Crusoe's fate. He was given the bottle of whiskey and his musket.
Right.
And
well, that wasn't a real story, though, was it?
Well, it's based on a real story
about
a Scotsman.
Robinson Crusoe was a fictional character.
Oh, it's based on a true story about a Scotsman, wasn't it? You know, some Scots guy. Yeah. Yeah.
If you say so.
And talking about that, by the way, I'm going to tell you something you don't know soon about a real Robbie Burns.
Are you?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
But anyway, getting back to this. So, when they put pirates on islands, you know that line in what song is it? 10 men dancing on a dead man's chest.
Yo-ho-ho and a bottle of
rum. Yo-ho-ho and a bottle of rum.
Yeah.
Now, I'll tell you what that was.
Right.
Dead man's chest is, in fact, an island.
Yes.
Right?
I think that's true.
And it's in the British Virgin Islands, and this is where I learnt all this, from a pirate philosopher. You know?
You sure they didn't just call it that after the song?
No. Dead Man's Chest was the name of the island. I've seen the charts back to the 1600s. When Captain Morgan...
Do you know
Morgan
what we used to have when I was a kid?
What?
We used to have these little records, right?
Oh, yeah.
Which were actual stories.
Mm.
Do you ever have those when you were a child? It was like a 45, you know, the single record.
Like a sort of toy record on toy record player.
Well, no, you could play on a real record player.
Right.
But it was like Treasure Island.
Oh, really?
And stuff like that.
No,
yeah.
I don't know.
And it was all spoken word. It was a bit like listening to a radio play, right? And
really?
You played the record.
Yeah.
I don't know why I suddenly thought of that, but it's because I thought of Treasure Island and then Jim Ladd.
Yeah.
And he talks about the charts.
Yeah. A child remember the charts.
The charts.
Right. Yes.
Yeah.
So what they do is, you know, if you'd upset the captain or something like that, you know, they just literally threw you overboard with your bottle of whiskey and your musket.
Yeah.
And you had to swim to the shore.
Right.
Or sometimes if they were real nice, they'd give you a plank, believe it or not. No, they would. They would give you a plank.
Do you know that word has become now total common parlance?
I know.
I was reading Ali Ross's column the other day.
Yes.
The headline had plank in it.
That's right.
But in the same way that we use it.
And isn't there some European commissioner called Mr.
No,
Planck?
No, the Max Planck Institute.
Max Planck
which is an
Institute
of Science of something like that.
It certainly is, yeah. So anyway, So what they do is, so Dead Man's Chest was 16 men on a dead man's chest. That meant 16 pirates had perished there, you see. Yo-ho-ho and a bottle of rum, you know. So all this mystery and you know, this wonderful, you know, sort of fervour about pirates, they were the scumbags of the earth.
Well, of course they were. They were criminals.
They're criminals. They slept in rat-infested hammocks in the bottom of the ship.
Most of them had syphilis.
Most of them had syphilis, definitely.
When they port in a storm.
Any port in a storm. When they got ashore, they would go and find all the local whores who were ugly beasts of women because that's what they did for a living, you know. And they would...
rancid.
They're rancid. And then they would get more syphilis, you know, and worse things.
Well,
you know
can't really get more syphilis,
you know...
You've either got it or you haven't, to be honest.
It'd be even worse. Yeah. And then... Of course, you know, some of them would actually perish and die by falling into water and drowning and all this kind of stuff, you know. But
I'm sure some of them would have had things like gangrenous toes as well. And,
gangrenous
toes. You know, things that they couldn't ever get medical treatment for,
That's why, you know, scurvy. That's where the word limey came from, obviously, you know.
I thought we were talking about the World Cup, by the way.
We are talking about the World Cup, but the last thing I want to say about these pirates is, can you imagine, can you imagine being press-ganged into that sort of lifestyle?
No.
And do you know what the capital...
But you know what I also can't imagine is actually the kind of living conditions that people were living in at the time when they would be press gang, because actually all of those things you've just described, many people lived like that anyway on the land,
never mind
on the sea.
Yeah, but the problem is the press gangs went out to go and kidnap and coerce good, able-bodied, middle-class boys into the Navy. They didn't want the scumbags, because the scumbags were all heroin freaks, you know, lying around on the pavements.
Opium heads.
Opium heads. Yeah. So if they found a bloke, you know, who was sort of middle-class, walking around like a farmer's son or something like that, they'd kidnap him. And then that was it for the next 10 years. And you got on that boat, and then when a cannonball blasted through the side of the boat and blew your bollocks off, I'm afraid that was your fate, you know?
That was the end of that. But so anyway, back to the plane, right? So you're still in this airport in Durban.
Airport, swinging the whiskey. And in fact, a colleague of ours went mad on that occasion, colleague that we've worked with for a number of years.
What, you mean in that same scene?
Yes, in that same scene.
All right, so that was you and Sagas and somebody else?
Yes, that's right,
You're not going to name them?
A producer. And there are four or five of us all together, but the producer went missing for a while and went a bit crazy.
Did he?
Yeah, but anyway. So
is he still with us?
Very much so.
Okay.
So anyway, we're all sitting there thinking... We're marooned. There was no hotel
or
anything.
Commercial flight, charter flight.
Well, nobody knew. It was on our flight documents to get there, and the bloke said, "Yeah, I think there is a flight coming. Think there is a flight coming." And then, all of a sudden, a speck in the sky, and what? You know, it's like, you know, like the airlift from Berlin. Yeah, yeah. You know, we're going to get rescued.
Yeah, yeah.
And the flight came down, and it was like an air taxi.
What sort of plane was it?
It was like it probably had 60 or 80 seats.
Oh, okay,
but we were the ones who got on. Yeah.
Was there anybody else on it?
No, nobody. Right. Nobody. And we got on.
Do you remember what it said on the side, if anything?
Say again.
Do you remember what it said on the side?
Well, it was some charter company, you know, some charter plane.
Yeah.
We got on, we just down the plane, didn't know where it had come from, didn't know where it was going to. It took us back to Cape Town, and that was it. Happened to be once in South America as well. Went into some very remote place in Argentina, you know, way down in the Pampas.
Yeah.
And the same thing happened there, I remember, at the time.
I remember George Gordon telling me that he was flying around in South America for some story or other.
Yeah.
And he ended up, I think, staying on for a bit, and he was flying around Peru, Bolivia.
Right,
And he said you'd get to the airport... And there'd be people literally with fucking chickens in sort of cages that were getting on the flight with them.
They were
taking the chickens with them.
I saw it in Pakistan. In Pakistan, I flew internally from Lahore to somewhere like Karachi.
Yeah.
And we're all in the departure lounge. Mm. And fortunately, I befriended a Pakistani doctor.
Did you?
Who was sitting next to me.
Uh-huh. You didn't give him a painting, did you?
I didn't give him a painting. That's the Egyptian doctor.
Yeah.
So, and he's actually one of your father's paintings
as
well.
How is the Egyptian doctor?
I think they're okay.
You don't hear from him?
Well, I don't inquire about his health.
Well, what does he do when he has a problem with his boiler or something?
He goes through the management company.
So you have a management company?
Yeah, of course.
That manages your portfolio of properties?
Yes, well, some of them, yeah.
Well, what do you mean some of them?
Well, I've got several management companies who manage them, yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
and how much do you pay them?
They take a percentage of the monthly rent, but it's not a lot. They take about, 6%, something like that.
Right.
Yeah.
So they make a decent living out of that?
Yeah, they're okay, yeah. Mm. So anyway, the doctor... So I said, I don't seem to have a boarding card, Doc, you know. He says, oh, no, you will not have a boarding card on this flight. I said, oh, right, OK. Right. I said, what was it? I said, because remember, there weren't cheap airlines in Europe in those days. Right. You know, like EasyJet and Ryanair and all that. Where you don't always get a seat, do you? To get an allocated seat?
No, you don't always, no. That's they've now started this kind of racket.
That's right, where you charge you for it.
You have to buy the seat. Because you know what happened when I was... I don't know if I told you this story, when I was coming back from Greece.
Yes.
Right? We got on the plane, and it's been a fucking awful, you know, journey through the airport. Coz Airport is not much better than what you've described in South Africa, right?
Yeah, the tin hut.
But we finally all get on the plane, right? And there's a woman, and we paid for allocated seats because, you know, we like to know exactly where we're sitting. You know, my other half doesn't particularly like flying, and so we always need to make sure she's sitting somewhere where she's...
It's a hefty drink, doesn't she?
She does need quite a few, And which was the other problem, there was no bloody bar in the airport.
Right.
You know? Anyway, so... Yeah. Anyway, this woman is a sort of... I'm vaguely aware of a sort of slight kerfuffle going on, right? And this woman, it turns out, has got four kids with her, all of hers kids, right?
Yes.
But hasn't reserved any seats.
Right.
As a result of which, they're all split up all over the plane.
Right.
And... So the stewardess starts kind of going up to people and saying, oh, excuse me, would you mind moving? And people are kind of going, well, not really, no, because I paid for the seat. You know?
Yeah.
And then the pilot comes on and says, oh, I'm terribly sorry to bother you people, but obviously we've got a situation where, as a family with some young children who have been split up and they're not able to sit together.
Go and live with their mother.
And they need to be... But here's what he said, which I didn't know. He said, unfortunately, we cannot take the plane off until this is resolved.
Yeah, because the children are on their own.
Because the children are too young to be sitting on their own.
Right.
I didn't know there was such a rule, did you?
Yeah, I did, yeah.
Did you?
I did, yeah.
Anyway, so in the end, they had to sort of persuade people by saying, look, we'll give you a free drink or something like that.
Yeah.
But if you wouldn't mind moving. Eventually, some, you know, three people moved.
Yeah.
But this bloody woman, right, didn't do what everybody else had done, which was to book the seats.
That's right.
And she was now getting this preferential treatment. Bloody people were really annoyed.
Hopeless.
And the idea that, you know, she was actually holding up the flight.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. Well, of course, we know from our experience in America, one of the greatest benefits was to be asked if you'd give up your seat for another passenger. You got $200 plus a free flight.
What do you mean if they bumped you?
Yeah. Plus an upgrade.
Yeah.
Right. Now, one time when I couldn't because I had to get back to wherever I was going.
Yeah.
I accepted it and then rescinded it when I got a message saying you've got to come back to New York.
Right.
So I got on the plane, right, and I sat in the seat I originally had, but had now been given to somebody else.
Yeah.
So, you know, this guy came and said, I think that's my seat. No, it's not your seat, it's my seat. You know, I was getting very, you know...
Did you still have your original boarding card?
No, because you have to hand it in, don't you, when you...
Well, so how could you get away with that, then?
So I said, this is my seat. I said, I don't care. I said, I don't give a fuck. I've lost my boarding card. Yeah. This is my seat.
Right.
Okay? So anyway... The, you know, first of all, the stewardess came down, and then a member of the flight crew. Yeah. I'm sorry, Mr. Pilot. I grabbed both the armrest, you know, and I said, if you want to get me off this plane, you're going to have to carry me off, OK?
Well, you're lucky it wasn't United Airlines. They would have hit you over the head and dragged you off.
That's right, yeah. I am not moving. Do you understand me? I'm a citizen of the United Kingdom.
Charmer.
Yeah, I did, yeah. Anyway, so they just threw somebody else off.
At this point.
No.
You did all that quite sober.
Yeah. And so they then started tapping on the shoulders of people who looked weak and febrile, you know, and eventually got some old fella.
Did you still pocketed the $200?
Yeah.
Didn't they ask for it back?
Well, I don't think they pay you cash. It's a refund on a credit card or something like that. You know what I mean?
Right.
And anyway, so they just thought the best way to solve this is to find a goon.
Mm.
And they found a goon, an old guy, and they just said, oh, hello, sir. Would you mind just standing up for a minute?
Yeah.
Oh, yes, okay, yeah. And listen, there's something I want to show you down here, you know.
Right.
And
so they just got him off.
They pushed him out through the door, you know, and that was it. Then we took off. But I wasn't Mr. Popular.
Shocking.
But anyway, that's really the way the World Cup works. Mm. I mean, you know, horrendous travel problems sometimes.
Yeah.
Certainly in Germany it wasn't bad. München, Berlin. Berlin's a great city. Munich's a great city, but seeing the Berlin Wall come down and the divide where it used to be is fantastic.
Now, of course, we can say at this point, because there's still time, we have yet got a few more tickets to get rid of, I think.
Yes.
For our World Cup extravaganza
on
Monday night.
Well,
which is going to be a sort of intimate night with the two mics.
It certainly is.
Where you get free beer.
And free white wine.
You do have to buy a ticket.
Yes.
However, I think you'll find it's probably well worth the money.
I do.
Because not only will you get the game, you will also get a bit of banter from us.
That's right.
You'll get some booze.
That's right.
And I mean, what could be better?
What could be better? It's our only live show this year until Christmas. So, yes, we want you to come along. The reason why there are a few more seats left few more places left, I should say. Stand or sit, depending on which way you like to watch your football. Right. And it's because, thankfully, the people at One Alfred Place, isn't it, have expanded the room for us by knocking out a partition to expand the room.
Oh, okay.
Very grateful.
Well, because a lot of people want to come. So if you haven't done it yet, check it out on the twomics.tv.
That's right.
Which is where you will find a link.
Absolutely.
Between now and Monday. But you should probably buy the tickets by Sunday. To be absolutely
sure. Oh, I'd buy them today, mate. As soon as I'd buy them, because people are going to go after them.
Yeah.
They've just realised.
Well,
that
also, the problem is, if you wait till Monday, it might not get somehow, you know, through the system.
Well, that's right.
Do you know what I mean?
It's Blado in Modo.
Yeah.
In Excelsior Deum, as we used to say in the Christmas carols.
Yes.
And the only last thing I want to say about the World Cup is, of course, I haven't told you about Italy 1990.
Oh, yeah.
First one I ever
did.
Was that
when you got arrested?
That's when I got arrested. I could tell you about that later, probably.
Well, you've already told that story loads of times.
Are you sure? Isabella.
Nobody believes you. I don't think you've given a name out. Before.
Yeah, her name is Isabella.
You claim, rather, shall we say, dodgily, that you were not harassing her way.
No.
That you were just trying to find out whether she was shagging Bobby Robson.
No, that's not true. Isn't Bobby Robson was a great man who is now no longer with us. And
well, I thought that
Bobby
was
Robson.
The story, wasn't it?
No, the story was that she was claiming she had been associating with some England players.
I thought Bobby Robson was involved.
No, Bobby Robson was involved in another story about a lady on a motor scooter.
That's right, the one one he drove off with.
Yes, on the back of the motor scooter.
You shouldn't be besmirching his name.
No, I'm not besmirching his name.
Good.
She was his official driver, and she turned up with a motor scooter instead of a car.
Right.
That was the funny story.
Okay.
And the last we saw was Bobby going down the hotel drive,
holding
clinging
on
for his for dear life. Yeah.
Well, holding on to her. What about the Spanish, though?
Well, they've sacked their manager a day before.
Do you know who he is? I've never heard of him.
What's his name?
Julen Lopetegui.
Julen Lopetegui.
Yeah.
And guess who the Spanish are wheeling in as a very, very late substitute?
Fernando Hierro, it says here.
No.
Yeah.
No, guess who it is?
Who?
Louis van Gaal?
No, it can't be Louis van Gaal.
It is Louis van
Gaal. He's in China, isn't it?
Louis van Gaal has been summoned to Madrid to be asked if he will take over the Spanish team on the eve of the World Cup.
Well,
I know this from my sources.
I'm telling you right that Fernando Hierro has been confirmed as the new boss.
And who is he?
He's a former Real Madrid player.
And who was he manager of before?
I don't know.
I've
no idea.
You don't know much about this, do you?
Well, I'm just breaking the news to you now.
I think Louis van Gaal.
It'd be great if
he former part of the management team.
Yeah, what about Sam Allardyce? He's not going to go anything else going on at the moment. He could go and manage the team and get them to make sure.
13.4 million, do you see that?
Sure,
do you see the assessment of it? I mean, we didn't even
make sure, right, that he doesn't let them, anybody score any goals against them. They wouldn't actually get out of the group, would
they? I told you all the money he got from Everton. That's over £6 million quid.
Yeah.
I didn't know that Sam also got £4 million from Newcastle when they gave him the old boots, right?
I mean, he's made a fortune.
He got $1 million.
He didn't get any out of Crystal Palace.
From England. No, he resigned at Crystal Palace.
Yeah.
And I think he got £2 million from Blackburn.
Yeah.
So, I mean, my God, that boy has racked it up.
Well, that's why he's managed to build a very nice house in the south of Spain.
Yeah, good, which he sold, by the way, now.
Yeah.
But good luck to him, and every man is an island. Every man should look after himself. So I'm a fan of Sam's. I think he's looked after himself, and that's your main job in life is look after yourself.
Yeah, indeed. Mm. Now, it seems that he was the assistant coach, this guy at Real Madrid.
Oh, yes.
And he's also been the manager of Oviedo.
Oviedo.
Which is in La Liga.
Oviedo is in La Liga.
I think
I might have been to Oviedo.
Really?
Some stage, yeah.
Why?
I think England might have played there. Was it Sevilla? No, I think it was Sevilla.
No.
But anyway, Oviedo.
I think Oviedo might just be the name of a team. I'm not sure it's the name of a place.
Well, it's like Everton is the name of a district of Liverpool, if you see what I mean.
Yeah.
And Arsenal is the district of London, if you see what I mean.
Oviedo is a town in northwest Spain between the Cantabrian Mountains and the Bay of Biscay.
I knew it was. Near the Bay of Biscay.
Yeah.
My father, during the Second World War, who was a Royal Naval hero, said the most treacherous seas in which he ever journeyed was the Bay of Biscay.
I used to go across the Bay of Biscay.
Really? 60-foot waves, apparently.
Terrible. Yeah. Really, really rough.
I
used to take the HMS Patricia from Southampton
to
Bilbao when we were kids, because we used to take the car
onto
the ferry and I always thought it was the coolest thing in the world, because it was the only ship I'd ever been on with a swimming pool,
right?
And it had a salt water swimming pool,
salt
which was really unusual.
Wow.
And
well,
I remember being
scooping up from the sea and pumping into
I think they did,
yeah. I think they did,
because nowadays when you get a saltwater swimming pool, like when we were in Mallorca that time when you came to visit, that was a saltwater swimming pool.
Was it?
But it was incredibly sort of, it's called, what do they call it, saline.
Saline,
so it's actually, you can taste the water, it doesn't taste like seawater.
No.
It just vaguely tastes of salt.
Yes,
but apparently it's much better for you, it's not chlorinated.
Right, yeah,
so
good.
So it's not
sounds
bad for your
good,
skin and all
double
that.
Double chlorination in my eyes and all
have
that
you
kind
seen the
of
time,
stuff.
By the way?
Don't even worry about the
we
time.
We should probably stop. Anyway, enjoy the World Cup.
Yes.
We will be entertaining you all the way through. Don't forget, if you want to come see us on Monday night, book your tickets now to make sure you can get in. Otherwise, it will be oversubscribed.
That's right. And just look for the 2mics.tv.
We're the Two Mics. Robbie Williams, bizarrely, is doing the opening ceremony.
Yeah, he is, yeah.
But I don't understand why.
Well, because he's probably been paid $5 million, I would imagine.
Do you think Jimmy Page would be pleased that he's gone out of London for a while because he can break into his house and mess about with it?
Well, perhaps he can dig a few holes in his garden and make sure he can't build a swimming pool underneath the house, which will shake the foundations of Jimmy Page's castle.
Indeed.
Yeah.
That's still going on, that
feud,
isn't it?
Yeah, I feel very sorry for Jimmy Page as well. Yeah, I do.
I feel sorry for Robbie Williams.
Why?
Because Jimmy Page is a bit of a practicer of the dark arts.
Not at all.
This is a bloke who knows about how to summon up demons and stuff.
What are you on about?
He's a massive follower of black magic.
No, he's not.
Yes, he is.
Well, a load of bollocks.
It's not bollocks.
He's a massive follower of rock music, of pretty girls.
And black magic.
And the high life, and he deserves all that because he's a special talent.
He is a special talent. He's a great
guitarist.
To
do with black magic.
Well, I wouldn't be upsetting him if I was Robbie Williams.
Really?
Yeah, I wouldn't want to go down
you
that
You think
road.
He's got a doll and he
I think it
addresses...
might be worse than that. Yeah. He might be sitting there with a pen in the middle of a pentangle summoning up the beast.
Don't know about that. Mm. So they then started tapping on the shoulders of people who looked weak and febrile, you know, and eventually got some
and
old
fella. Did you still pocketed the $200?
Yeah.
Didn't they offer it back?
Well, I don't think they pay you cash. It's a refund on a credit card or something like that, you know what I mean?
Right.
And anyway, so they just thought the best way to solve this is to find a goon.
Mm.
And they found a goon, an old guy, and they just said, oh, hello, sir. Would you mind just standing up for a minute?
Yeah.
Oh, yes, okay, yeah. And listen, there's something I want to show you down here, you know.
Right.
And so they
just got him off.
They pushed him out through the door, you know, and that was it. Then we took off. But I wasn't most I wasn't Mr. Popular. They put you on an island with a bottle of whiskey,
uh-huh.
and you had two choices. You could either try and survive by finding water,
right.
or you could drink your bottle of whiskey and then take your pistol and blow your own brains out.
Oh, right.
Because
seems a bit drastic.